Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi Gittin Peites. So we got up to the second line from the top. Amar Rava. We're going to discuss the concept of koil, rumors circulating about a person. When do we take it as fact? When do we even suspect wrongdoing? And when do we actually just dismiss it as irrelevant? That's today's sugya. Amar Rava. Yotzo lo shem mizanobir. We have an isha pinuya, an unmarried woman. There is a rumor circulating that she committed zinus. And Rashi explains, even if the rumor goes so far as to claim that she interacted as married with a goy, with an eved, which basically disqualify her for marrying a kohen, we ignore it. Ein choshish in law, says the Gemara. Forget about it. My time of pritzusa ba'almohu dechazi law. You know, perhaps she was seen interacting inappropriately, undignified, lack of tznius, but no further than that, we have no firm basis to suspect that they actually interacted as married, in which case, she's still kosher. Kitanoi. And actually, this question of whether a rumor can disqualify a woman from marrying a kohen is a machlokes tanoim. Brisa says, Achla Bashuk. They saw her, you know, eating out in the street. Girgura Bashuk. She was walking upright, inappropriately in the shuk. Hinika Bashuk. She nursed her baby out in the street. Bekulan, in all these situations, Rab Meir Omer Teitze. She must leave her husband, who happens to be a kohen. We're speaking about a married woman. She must leave her kohen husband, because these manners of behavior are indicative of, you know, a broader, deeper inappropriateness and a lifestyle that's unfitting a wife of a kohen. Because remember, if a wife of a kohen commits znus, she becomes usher on him. Even if it was ba'inus, right? If it was forced. But in any case, apparently when it comes to a kohen husband, we adopt higher standards. Even a this type of suspicious behavior is enough room, enough reason for Isser on her husband. We're concerned that perhaps she interacted as married with a stranger. Rabbi Kiva Omer, he says, you know, not so fast. The rumor, the gossip has to reach a higher level of intensity. Misha Yisu, Vitnu Ba, once they start discussing her, Who's discussing? Who's conversing? Moisrois Belavana. You know those women sitting out, the schmoozers who sit and crochet and knit and sew out in the moonlight. Basically, the local chat club already discussing her case, discussing her inappropriate behavior. No, then we're in trouble. Amaloi Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So he responds, In Cain, if you know, you're going to take every rumor as fact. No Jewish woman, no daughter of Avraham Avinu will be allowed to stay with her husband, a kohen. Because, you know, as Rashi says, there's always going to be some enemy out there who's going to try to smear her and ruin her name. So if every rumor is treated as substantiated fact, you're in trouble. Look what the Torah says about this. Sure, husband discovers, you know, inappropriate behavior, but it has to be substantiated, firmly substantiated. We have the word davar, and elsewhere, ulahalo nu'aymer, elsewhere, something substantiated by two witnesses is related to as the word as davar. Al bishnaim edim, al bishleisha edim. Yokum Dover. We connect the two psukim, Malahal and Dover Bar, just like over there. Something related by witnesses is with clarity and substantiation. Afkan, Dover Bar, same by us. Kimotza Ba'ervas Dover means he really discovered through thorough investigation that she did an appropriate behavior. That's considered serious. That makes her Asr, otherwise not. So basically, Rava's Chiddush lines up with the second shita in this price. Just a koil, just a bad name, doesn't necessarily derail her. Tana Rabbana. In the following situations, again, we ignore the rumors. Bu'ula. Ein chayshishin lo. Let's say, you know, there's a rumor out there about an unmarried woman that she already interacted as married with a man. So she's not a besula any longer, and she can't marry a kohen gadol who must marry a besula. Ein chayshishin lo. This type of rumor, we just reject it. There's no firm basis, no reason to believe it. Nesua. The next example of koil is a rumor out there that an isha who was assumed to be single, no, she's a married woman. She married somebody. It's been, you know, a week ago she's married. Ein chayshish in law. Once again, we have no reason to believe it. Arusa ein chayshish in law. She was engaged. No, we don't believe it. Shloi leplaini. Suppose there is a rumor that she's getting engaged today. But they don't have no idea who it is. She got engaged today without a name, anonymous. Ein chayshish in law. There's not enough detail there to believe it. There's a rumor that she's a mamzeres, and she can't marry a Yisrael. Once again, we ignore. Ein chayshish in law. Shivcha, that she's a shivcha. Ein chayshish in law. Another example. This is more monetarily related. Higdish pleni nechasav. There's a rumor that Reuven gave away all his assets to the Beis Hamikdash. Or Hifkir Plenis Nechasav. He gave away everything to Hefkir. Ein Chayshish in Lahen. We don't take it as fact. Amarula. Let's go back to our Mishnah, which actually seems to indicate that sometimes we do accept rumor as fact. Mishnah spoke about Yotza Shema Be'ir Mekudeshes. There's a sham, there's a rumor. Big news. She's engaged. What does Mishnah say? Harezu Mekudeshes. We accept it as fact. We treat her as a married woman. How is that consistent with everything until now? Amar Ula. No. The Mishnah is speaking about a substantiated rumor with much fact, with much detail. The Mishnah isn't speaking that it was just, you know, some sort of gossip, some sort of rumor circulating. Ella. We're speaking about something much more detailed and verified. Kadei shehiu neiras dolkos. The story being circulated is, well, the lights were on. Umitos mitzoyes, the beds were made. Ubnei odom nechasam yoytzim, people coming in and out. And, you know, wishing the model toiv amrim, plainis miskadesh asayim. And everyone was saying, look, she's getting engaged today. That's called a substantiated rumor. That has firm basis. And that we believe. What do you mean? She's getting engaged? Who says she will get engaged? Miskadeshes. But then we'll let you, maybe it didn't really pan out. She never got engaged. Ema, rather, let's modify it. People are speaking about the fact that she did get engaged today. Plain is niskacha hayem. That's what the Mishnah is speaking about. And that's what we believe. V'chein. Tani Levi. By the way, Rashi, all the way on the bottom. The last line, he says, D'ha d'lema atlinan kola einoi ela v'pnei achshad. Rashi seems to learn that the whole, you know, this whole concept of believing a koil, even when there's firm basis to believe it, is midrabanan, because, you know, it appears like, in fact, it's true, has credibility. So we go with it. Okay, in any case, it has to be firmly rooted in fact. V'chein tani Levi, likewise, Levi explained in his Braisa, to elaborate on the halacha and the Mishnah, we're speaking about a solid rumor, lo yishu ishmu kol avar, not just shmoozing, elok yishu neres dolkos, mitz mitzoyes, v'nashim toibit l'arner, and the women are busy doing their work, l'arner, with all these lights going, with the cameras flashing and clicking, v'smeichas lo, and they're happy for her, v'imrus, and they're all publicizing the latest news, plainis miskadeshes hayoyim, and the question again is miskadesh, is she's getting engaged? V'dumala iskacha, who said it happened? Amar papa, ema, rather, what they're saying is plain is niskacha hayom, in fact it happened. And the same thing was said by the next amar, amar rabba barachan, amar biechnan, all the same thing. Lo yishashama kol havor, it's not enough just to hear some vague news. Elok adeshiyu, neiras dolkos, the lights are going, mitzvah mitzoyes, the beds are made, people are coming in and out. Amru, dover zeh, now. Amru davar zeh. If when people, you know, guests left at a home, they're saying Amru davar. If they're saying exactly, you know, as we described that this woman was in Skacha today, yep, zehu koil, that's the koil that we accept. Loi amru davar, but let's say they're not relating this fact. Zehu amasla. Oh, this is the amasla which the Mishnah speaks about. That breaks the koil, that disqualifies the koil. So in the Mishnah we had an example of amasla as follows. People are speaking about an isha getting married, but maybe, you know, the ring was thrown in her direction, we don't know if it reached her. That's called an amasla, sort of a disclaimer. So likewise over here, if people are not being specific, that's an amasla. Says, what do you mean? That's way worse than amasla. Amasla means you have, you know, on the one hand, the news, and then you have the disclaimer. But here, they haven't even said anything. They haven't gotten to first base. Le'amru, if they haven't told us the fact that she was in the Scottish, then there's nothing. There isn't even a koil. I haven't said anything. So why does he have to say Loi Amru is not Masla? Says the Gemara, there was some halacha that he was trying to teach us. There's a new twist here. You see, how soon after the koil can the how long after the koil can the Amasla still prove as a disclaimer? La'afuki mid Rabba Barafuna. He's coming to undo Rabba's halacha. The Amar, who tells us that, you know, the Amasla can come out 10 days later. Today she was engaged, and then 10 days later you hear something that puts the whole thing into, you know, questions the whole thing. That's also an Amasla. It doesn't have to be immediately. Amasla sha'amru afilu mekan vad yud yomim. A belated Amasla works. Kamash v'lan. That's what the Gemara is telling us here. No, it's too late. Amasla has to accompany the koil. So that's why he said like this. Loi amru, if the guests coming out of this home are not promoting the story, they're not telling us what happened, who the havi amasla? That's like an amasla. It's like, you know, if they're not speaking clear things, we hear about a celebration, but they're not actually stipulating that there was a kiddushin, you know. So, so that's called Amasla. Now, actually, Rashi goes like this, that Loi Amru means that they're adding a disclaimer to their news. On the one hand, they're saying, well, it appears that she was in Skadish, and then they say, no, the ring was thrown there, and we don't know where, you know, where it landed and what happened. So even though they're telling us she was in Skadish, but it's coming along with a disclaimer. That's called an Amasla, because there was an immediate, simultaneous undoing of that rumor. But if it's not immediate, it's not simultaneous, it's a week later, then we ignore the disclaimer. Too late. Ha Amru, but if they simply relate the fact that it was Kedushin without a Masla right away, that's too late. Lo yavi a Masla, it's too late for a Masla. The news has been accepted as fact, and we go with it. Amar Abba, Amar Afun, Amar Rav. Once again, he's elaborating on the property of the koil, exactly what it involves and why we believe it. Lo yishashama koil havar. It's not up to here, just a general, vague rumor. Elok leish yemru. Rather, people are saying very specifically, look, we heard about this new Mazel Tov. Pliny meichan shama. How did Reuven know about it? Oh, mi pliny. Heard from Shimon. U pliny mi pliny. Shimon from Levi. We go all the way and investigate all the way to the source. We come all the way to the source, to those who saw the Kedushin. That's a proper koil. Asks the Gemara, well, Dabar HaBar, once you have the Edom in front of you, Edas Mal Yosei, that's the best thing you can have. Absolute witnesses. It's not just a rumor. It's not just a koil. It's not just a shem. Ella, rather, this is what he meant to say. Ki Osir of Shmobar Yehuda. When he came, he told us like this. Amrav Abba, Amrav Huna, Amrav. Lo yishashama koil havara. Just a vague piece of information is not enough. Elok l'shiyemin, rather, they're saying, Pliny meichan shama mi pliny. Reuben heard it from Shimon. Or pliny me pliny Shimon from Levi. And we know. So we know the alleged source of this information. Two Eidim, but they're not here. They're out of town. V'ochalhem dinasayim, they left town. So we almost got to the source, but not really. So that's not really Eidus, but it's enough to be considered a substantiated and a valid koil, and we have to go with it. Here comes a new question. Suppose there's a rumor circulating about whatever. Do we try to subdue it, silence it, or not? Mevat linan kala, oiloi mat linan. So Rashi has two pshatim. Number one, you know, we hear, you know, women, kids speaking. Do we try to quiet them down? What are you spreading information without substantiation? On the other hand, well, you know, they're coming from a source. As we said, they know exactly, you know, where it came from. Second pshat is Rashi, and Rashi is, we're speaking that those fellows came back. Those supposed sources came back, and we asked them, and they're flatly denying it. So is that reason to mevatel the koil? Why would we not be mevatel the koil under these circumstances? So Mefarshim explained, because we don't want it to appear like we're negating, you know, this type of serious information, like we're just, you know, taking it lightly. So that's the question. Matlinan kala, oylei matlinan kala. Amale. So he responded, mide amar av chizda, ad shi yishmu mipiak sherim. So Rav Chizda tells us that Bezdin are not concerned, don't concern themselves with a koil, with a chashash, until they actually, they hear the information from ksherim. So they hear it from two men who are relating this koil, like we explained, with the whole chain of sources. So what do we see from here? That the Rashi explains it, that we're very makel. We take it very lightly, meaning we have a very high bar, very high standard. Unless we hear it from ksherim, we just ignore the whole business. So likewise, regarding our question, if it so happens to be that we went back to the source and it turns out to be untrue, we're just going to go do away with that rumor. Shema mina, that proves to us that mevatlin and kala, in fact, we're mevatel the koil. Amalei, so Abai responded. Adrab, just the opposite. You see, that was Rav Chizda's approach. We have a very high standard of verification. But Medara of Sheshes disagrees. Afilu mipi nashim have a koil. Even if women are promoting this rumor, it's also a proper koil. So we see our standards aren't so high. It takes less to make us concerned. Shema mina loy matlin and kala, that gives us reason to believe that we're not mevatel koil. Amalei, so he says, you know what? You're right and you're right. They're both right. Depends where you live. Depends on the minig hamokah. Aser vasaninu. Depends on the asra on the place. Besura in the town of Sur, mevatli kala. Bezdin would attempt to shush down the rumor. Benarda loy mevatli kala. Continues the Gemara with several examples of amaslo. Disclaimers that undo the effect of the koil. There was a rumor about this isha that she got engaged to a certain, you know, Talmud at the yeshiva, and you know, we were trying to verify. So Asi Rav Chama called in his father of the supposed chassan lavua. Armeli tells him, you know what? Tell me all about what happened. Emil hechi avuvda, what exactly took place? Amalei says, look, my son really was mekadesh, but it was on condition, altnai kadesh. He did it on condition, adata d'le'ozlo bechuzoy, on condition that he doesn't travel to a place called bechuzoy, and he traveled there, v'ozlo bechuzoy, that's where he ended up. That was the whole story. That's the long and short of it. Amalei Sarv Chama says, well, now we got the story straight, and we could just do away with the whole kiddushin. Kiva de be'idna d'avakola. Oh, sorry, that's what we thought. It's like an amasla, right? So he says, no, too late for the amasla. This is news to us. You're introducing a new twist to the story. We can't accept it as fact. It's too late. The rumor is out there. Kiva de be'idna d'avakola. Since when the koil was perpetuated, it was not accompanied with this amasla disclaimer. This is the first we hear of it. Love kol kiminach, the machzak is amasla, you have no right to go introduce this amasla. And she may not marry somebody else until she gets a get from this fellow. Another story. Ahid nafik ala kala di kacha. So there was a koil that this isha was niskadish, but tzipa de tuchlo. So they used, this guy was very cheap, he used the pits of some unripe dates that has some, you know, skin attached to it. Anyways, so this is what he used for the kedushin. And where was the kedushin? Where did it take place? In a very special place, Be'ena, at the spring, the Beishifi of this place, Beishifi. Simon Bracha, Simon Mazel, right on the spring. But it was just a rumor. Shalcha Ravid bar Avin, he sent this question, Kamei Abaye. Please tell me, Abaye, what to do. He says, no worries. Even according to those who don't subdue and cancel and shush down rumors, in this case, there's no concern. In this situation, everybody would do so. Why? Because, you know, the whole Kedushin is questionable. Because people will say, you know what? The whole thing never took place. I knew the Rabbanan took a good look at the Kedushin and what happened. He gave her these, you know, these pits. And guess what? They weren't worth much. They weren't worth a shava pruta, which is the minimal value needed for Kiddushi Kesef. I was going to learn Bez Hashem in 2 days. So here there's no chashash that people will look at it funny. Why are you just negating such a serious thing? And this is where Rashi tells us that the whole idea of following the koil is just b'pnei chashad. People shouldn't think we're just, you know, taking marriage lightly. But here, if there is, you know, good reason to believe that the thing never took place, then we just blame it on that. We hope people will just blame it on that and, you know, not look at it funny. Says the Gemara, he did nafek alo de kacha, de kacha, kolo de kacha. Again, we have a pruya, an unmarried woman, and there's a koil out there that she was niskadish lechad mibnei planya. To one of, you know, this fellow's sons. He had many sons. One of his sons was Mekadosh this Isha. What do we do? Amar Rava, once again, we're safe. Afilu manda Amar. Lo matlinan kala, even according to the Shita, that we're not mevatel koil, but matlinan here, we just do away with it, because once again, there is an easy way out. Meima Amar, people will just say, Inu bu Rabban b'kidushay. Rabban took a close look, investigated the matter, and guess what? B'kidushay katan havu. This fellow had, you know, a son who was underage, and he was the one who was Mekadosher. It's worthless. Another story about an Isha, and there's a call circulating about the fact that she was Neskadish to a minor, underage boy, younger than Bar Mitzvah, but he was large and you know, physically large. He looked like a Gadol. And the question is, whether we should be Chayshish for this call and require a get, because perhaps he appears like an adult. Amole Rav Mardach L'Ravashi, not to worry. There was the same similar story. Hava uvda. I know of a story just as this. Va'amru and people in the Chacham paskind. No worries about this koil. Adayin lo higia laflages ruven. There's a pasuk shenemar laflages ruven gedolim chikrei lev. So when you're gedolim, when you're an adult, you're chikrei lev. You have the ability to, you know, discern, to analyze. Basically, you get wisdom as you grow. And everybody saw this boy, although he was large in size, but he didn't have the, you know, maturity level of an adult, and it was pretty clear that he's a minor, no concerns, nobody will think it was a kedusha. Okay, so far we have like this. In order to reckon with a koil, so first of all, she has to be a pnuya. We discussed this yesterday. A koil against a married woman is worthless. We have no right to interfere with a marriage based on just a rumor. Okay, so that's number one. Now, not every koil is reckoned with. It has to be substantiated. It needs to be firm basis that, in fact, this koil has a proper source. We had a couple of shitas, whether it has to come from Edom Ksherim or even Noshim. But bottom line is, it has to have some validity to it. Now, regarding a koyhenes, are we more machmer there? We had a machlekes tanoim. And then we had a shaila whether we're mevatel koil or not. And in certain cases, the Gemara concludes, there's no concern at all. Ubavad shleiteshem am maslo. Another example of ignoring a koil is a koil which comes along with an amasla, a disclaimer. Amar Rabba Barafuna, amasla sh'amro, the amasla that affects a koil, that downgrades the koil, that overrides the koil. For instance, like we said before, we're not sure where the ring landed, etc. How soon after the koil? Afilu mekanu atzara yamim, even 10 days later. So the disclaimer arrives a week later, 10 days later, it has the same effect that overrides and nullifies the koil. Rav Zvid Amar, he disagrees. It has to be simultaneous. V'mokem ha-masla, choshishin la-masla. Sorry. Rav Zvid is coming to tell us a chiddush. Even more kula than Rava. You see, Rava Ravuna was a chiddush, which we had an opposing sheet on Amar Aleph. So that was the machlekes there. Rav Zvid actually is coming to be mekel. He says like this. V'mokem ha-masla, choshishin la-masla. Even if there's no clear-cut disclaimer, but there's some makim or pesach, says Rashi, some sort of, you know, opening. There's reason to believe that perhaps there's an amasla. We can sort of develop a disclaimer. Choshishin la-masla. So here, interesting, the word choshishin is not l'chumra. Usually choshishin is l'chumra. Here, the other way around. We assume, we're allowed to suggest that in fact it was an amasla, even though we haven't heard clearly about an amasla, but even a suffix amasla is okay. And we mevatel the koil. Eisver, popular of Zvid. How could you say that? Uvavat shaloi teisham amasla. Mishnah says, a koil works if there's no amasla. If there is an amasla, then there's no koil, but you need an amasla. You can't just, imagine amasla. That's what the Mishnah is saying as well. You don't need an actually, actual factualized amasla. Even a hint of an amasla allows us to suggest that there is one. You don't agree with that? Va'at l'tisbra, that even a mokim of amasla is enough? Va'atnan. We have a Mishnah in Maseches Yevamos. So, before we begin, we have the whole sugi, if you remember, Perek Ha'isha, Rabba. So we discuss a story of a husband who left town. She got word from one aide that he passed away. We allow her to remarry, and which is obviously a tremendous exception, one aide. Well, the answer is because we assume that she'll, thoroughly investigate the matter. She'll ask passerby what happened to her husband, and she'll discover, she'll conclude as per the facts. So if she goes and remarries, we assume she did, due diligence and was responsible. And in fact, he had passed away. Now, turns out, she remarries and he shows up. We come down very hard on her. A lot of consequences. Right? It's in order to, sort of maintain that deterrent factor. So the fact that we come down very difficult, very hard on her, that will serve as an incentive. It will motivate women to, in fact, investigate the matter thoroughly before they proceed with life. But let's say she was just niskadish. She took a ring. She got engaged. But none is niskacha. And then husband shows up. V'akach babala. No harm was done. Muteres, lachser, loy. She can just go back to Reuven. The question is why. And Rashi explains like this. The reason why, if she married Shimon, and then husband shows up, she can't go back to Reuven, because people will say, one second, she was married to Shimon. How? Apparently, Reuven, the first husband, divorced her. And she went on to Shimon. So now she can't go back to Reuven. You're not allowed to remarry a divorcee. You can't be Machzer Grusha Asai. That's why we don't allow her back to Reuven. However, if she was just engaged to Shimon, then, Reuven shows up, she can go back to him. Why? Why is that different? The same concern applies here. People will say, well, Reuven divorced her. She got engaged to Shimon. Now she's going back to Reuven? Machzer Grusha Asai? And Rashi says, this is the biggest koil you can have, the biggest rumor. Everybody knows she was in Skadish, right? So how could you go back? How could you ignore that rumor? How can you ignore that, basically that fact? Lav mishum damrina al tanai kaddish. Oh, because there is some wiggle room. There's a way out of this. Because, you know, people will assume, people will say that, the reason why she's going back to Reuven is because Shimon really, when he was Mekadesh, was on condition. It was conditional upon Reuven's not returning. She was really Reuven's wife. She was happily married with him. She thought he had passed away. So people will just assume, they'll conclude, look, she's going back to Reuven because Shimon's condition was an unsuccessful attempt. It was done conditional upon Reuven's passing away, and Reuven's here, she goes back to him. So basically we're creating, we're introducing an amasla. Even though there really isn't an amasla here. It was not Mekadesh on tonight. The reason why we're letting her go back to Reuven is because she's a married woman. Her husband's around. So Shimon's condition is worthless, for real, right? But the question is, how do we get around the chashash, the appearance issue? People will think that Reuven divorced and Shimon now was Mekadesh. And that preempts her from going back to Reuven. The answer is, we're going to introduce an amasla. We'll assume that people will think and conclude that there was a tenai with Shimon's condition. It was conditional. And that condition didn't pan out because Reuven's here. So there you go. Even when there isn't really a substantiated disclaimer, we can just introduce one. Says the Gemara, no, it's not because of this, concocted disclaimer. Shani Hossam, there it's different. The Asi Baal Vekama Arer. The reason why we let her go back to Reuven is because her husband's right here, yelling and screaming, I'm your husband, I'm here. So everybody sees that he didn't divorce her. So he's not being machzeh grushasoi. So that's the reason why she can go back. Yach, if that's the case, nisses nami. So the same rationale can apply to a case where she married Shimon. Not just niskacha, she married Shimon. Husband's yelling and screaming. So why don't we let her go back? Says the Gemara, nisses the avdi isura kansur rabbanon. Reasons like this, very simple. When she got married, that's already an isser. She wasn't careful. She didn't investigate the matter thoroughly before she married. She did an isser. So we penalize her. She can't go back to her husband. Like we explained before, that serves as a deterrent, that serves as a very strong motivating factor so that she gets clarity before she proceeds. But in Skacha, she was just engaged. That's not so terrible. Love the isser. There was no isser actually done. Like Kansur Rabbanu, we don't apply the knas. And she can go back home. So we try to prove from this halacha that even unsubstantiated amasla can be introduced. We haven't really worked that out. Amar Rav Ashi. Two things regarding a koil. Kol kolo de lo yischazak bebedina, lav kolohu. A koil which was not investigated by the bezin is worthless. Next. Amar Rav Ashi, we had this before. Kol kolo de basar nesur lechashimla. Any koil which surfaces after she marries. So if it surfaces regarding a single woman, sometimes we accept it, but you can't interfere with a married couple. Lo yichashinle, we leave it alone. Says the Gemara Diuk, only a married woman. Ha debasan eirusin, chashinle, but let's say a rumor comes out about an engaged woman. What do you mean you're engaged to him? Until you're engaged to that person, right? Chashinle, there we do act upon it, because a married woman, yeah, we don't get involved there. Rashi says, if we require a get now from the other fellow, it's going to make her disgan al bala, make her unattractive to her husband. So we don't, we have no right to encroach. But an engaged woman, yeah. Rav Chaviva Amar no, afilu debasa erison nami l'chashinlei. Even erison stops the coil. Vilchasa l'chashinlei. That's how we paskin. Amar b'yirmiya bar ab shocholei b'rav l'shmol. The Talmidim of Rav sent a question to Shmuel. Interesting that they learned by Rav, but they queried Shmuel. So some say, so it's after Rav passed away. Ilan Den Rabbeinu, please teach us as follows. What happens if Yotza Aleh Koil Merishin? Okay, we have a koil that she, was Neskadesh to Reuven. Ubo Achar B'Kitcha Kedusha Torah. But then we know for a fact that Shimon approached him was Mekadesher for real. Not just a, you know, rumor or a koil. So regarding Reuven's Kedushin, there's just a koil. Regarding Shimon's Kedushin, we have a fact that it happened. Now we're stuck. So what's the halach? Shalach lehu. So he responded, Teitzei. She must leave her new husband. Ve'emidu hadavar al buryoi v'hoidi uni. And, you know, go be mevar, go verify if this koil is really true, and let me know what happened. Now, what exactly was he trying to, you know, verify here? Ilei madi imagal yemosa, de kedusha de kamalav kedusha ma'al yaninu, matlin and kala. Was he hoping, was he trying to figure out whether it will turn out that Reuven's kedusha was not really, was really not true, was unfounded. That's what they're going to verify. Kedusha kama lav kedusha malininu. So in that case, we'll just be mevatel the koil, matlin kala, and we'll do away with that rumor, and she can stay with Shimon. Is that what he meant to say? No, he couldn't have meant that. V'ho nardo asrei d'shmolu. So remember, before we had a shaila about being mevatel the koil, we said in Surah they do, in nardo with Shmuel if they don't. So nardo was Shmuel's place. Nardo asrei d'shmolu. Apparently, he held. He was the Pesach of the town. They don't do away with Koil. Even if it turns out that's untrue, we don't interfere, we don't tamper with rumors, lest it look like we're disregarding the whole idea, right? And we're taking, you know, these issues lightly. So apparently that's not what he meant, to be Mevatel the Koil. Elo, he meant like this. Just the opposite. It turns out that Reuben's Kedushin was a real solid, real Kedushin. Then she won't need a get from Shimon, because a married woman who went and married another person is worthless. Okay, so basically, we'll save her the get, and she'll go back to Reuven. Upliga de Rafuna, but this verdict, this conclusion, this approach, is in disagreement with Rafuna, who disagrees. Dama Rafuna. Rafuna tells us, Eishes ish shepashta yada. We have a married woman, 100% confirmed married woman, that puts her hand out. Just an expression, it means to say that she availed herself to another kedushin. Vikibla kedushin ma'achar. She accepted kedushin from Shimon. She's married to Reuven, and she's now being as kaddish to Shimon. Mikudeshes. We treat her as Mikudeshes to Shimon, and she'll need a get from Shimon. You know why? She's a married woman. How could she become a kaddish? The answer is Midr Rav Amnuna. It's based on Rav Amnuna, the Omer Rav Amnuna. Ha'isha she'omra lebalo gerashtani. If an isha turns to her husband, her supposed husband, you divorced me. That's her claim. Is she believed? Yes, ne'emenes. You know why? We have no proof. We have no document. Chazaka, ein, isha, ma'iza, poneh b'fnei bala. A woman cannot bring herself to present such a wild claim directly to her husband's face. And this isha, this married woman who turned around and got engaged to somebody else, it's the most, you know, direct claim against her husband that she got divorced. So we treat her as divorced from Reuven and married to Shimon. So back to our case where there was a kedushin, a suffix kedushin from Reuven, and a vada kedushin from Shimon. She wouldn't have brought herself to do that. To be makabel kedushin from Shimon if she was really married to Reuven, so that's the biggest raya, that she's not married to Reuven. V'idach. Now Shmuel disagreed. He held that there is still some chance that she was married to Reuven. What do you mean she was makabel kedushin from Shimon? It's like denying Reuven's marriage. Ki itma de Rav Amnuna b'fanav. Rav Amnuna is speaking when she squarely presents her husband, she confronts her husband. That she can't bring herself to do. It's just against her nature. She'll be fun of Miza Miza, but if it's not in his presence, you never know. Maybe she'll be brazen and claim it, even if it's untrue. So here as well, she was a Makabal Kedushin from Shimon. She wasn't standing in front of Reuven, so you never know. It doesn't provide any indication whatsoever that she's unmarried to Reuven. Now, let's say we couldn't figure out what happened. So Shmuel suggests that they go and they verify. Lo yamatzu davar al buri imahu. They couldn't figure out exactly what happened. He couldn't confirm, you know, the source of this rumor. So back to square one. We have a koil about Reuven being Mekadesh, and we have a vada Shimon being Mekadesh. What do we do now? Mao. Amar Vahuna, Megarash Rishon V'Nosei Sheni. This is how we proceed. Reuven gives a get, and she marries Shimon. But not the other way around. Why not? Aval Megarash Sheni V'Nosei Rishon La. You can't have Sheni, Shimon doing the get and marrying Reuven. You know why? My time. Us Lemen people say, Machse Grushasim and Erisim. People think Reuven was Makadish. And then divorced her, and then she went to Shimon, got engaged, and now she was divorced from Shimon, going back to Reuven. Machse Grushasim, be taking his divorce, that's Aser. So rather do it the other way. Let her stay with Shimon. Rav Shinna, Bre Davidi, Omar, no problem. Af Megarei Sheni, even Nesei Rishon. You can do it the other way as well. She can leave Shimon and go back to Reuven. Meimar Amar, people will just say, Meimar Amri, Aini Rabban Megadushay. Rabbanan looked into the Kedushin of Shimon, and it turned out to be a mistake. Kedushin Tayusava was a mistake. It was based on a misunderstanding, and that's it. That explains what happened. Next question. So let's just relate to Rav Huna for a minute. Again, we had a story where there was a koil about Reuven being Mekadesher, and we knew as fact that Shimon was Mekadesher afterwards. Rav Huna is concerned about appearing like a Machzer Grishasai. She must stay on with Shimon if she chooses to, but not go back to Reuven. What about in the following case? What would Rav Huna hold in the next case? Would his concern apply here as well? What's the case? Yotze Oleh Koil Mizeh Umizeh. This time nothing is confirmed. There's a rumor about Reuven being Mekadesh Rachel and about Shimon being Mekadesh Rachel. Ma, what would you do in this case? Amar Papa Afzu Megarash Rishon V'Nosei Sheni. In this case as well, Rav Huna would hold, Reuven should divorce, and she should marry the second fellow. Even though they're both just rumors, same concept, the same concern. We don't want people to think that she left Reuven through divorce, went to Shimon, and now is going back to Reuven, Machzer Grushasai, stay with Shimon. Amemar Amar, no, this case is different. Even Rav Huna would agree, Muteres L'Shneim, she can choose her husband, stay with Shimon, go back to Reuven. You know why? Because here it's so different. Here, it's just a koil that she was in Skadish to Shimon, and therefore people will understand that, you know, it turned out to be false. And that's the halacha vilchasa, or teres l'shneim. She can choose either Reuven or Shimon. Okay, so in summary, we have the sugya of koil, rumors circulating. When do we reckon with them? When don't we? So firstly, it has to be a confirmed koil, a verified koil, substantiated koil with firm basis, with facts, with details, with names, with places. The koil cannot have any disclaimer. Now, according to some, even if the disclaimer arrives many days later, it still serves as a disclaimer. According to others, even if there's some opening for disclaimer, that's enough. A koil against an Ashes Ish doesn't work. Against an Arusa, we have a Machloikis. A koil which wasn't verified by Bezna is worthless. The Machloikis, whether Mumavatl koil, when we see a need to. Then we had a case of Reuven and Shimon. Here we have two competing parties, Reuven and Shimon. We had one case, we had another case. We discussed what to do in all these situations. All the best to you and Hatzlach Rabbah.